I probably should have said, thanks be to God for these hard to hear and hard to understand words this week. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever seen a movie, read a book, or, thank you, heard someone talking about the end of the world? Have you ever heard any conversations or seen things that talk about the end of the world? Thank you. Well, that is how some people understand the book of Revelations, the last book in the Bible. But today I'm going to introduce you to a different and what I think is a better understanding of Revelations. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is that, a better understanding of the book of Revelations. And I want to thank you for being here this morning. Now, the question today is, what do you think about the end of the world? And do you have any ideas of what might cause it, or how it will come about? So try and find someone you usually don't talk to. Introduce yourself, say who you are, and then share some of your thoughts or concerns about the end of the world. And hopefully it's not happening before we get home today. Thank you. Go. Please stop. Please stop. Thank you. Does anybody want to briefly share what your scenario is for the end of the world? Any thoughts? What?
I got
one. Go for it.
The world already ended. We're in the Matrix.
Ah, the world has already ended. We're in the Matrix. Thank you. I haven't seen those movies, but I know about that a little. Okay, anybody else?
12 years.
12 years? Okay, thank you. Is it going to happen in 12 years, or? Oh, that's what Cortez in the States says. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? How is it going to come about? Thank you. Nuclear war. Boom. Any other thoughts?
Climate change.
Thank you.
We'll be smothered in plastic.
Wow. Thank you.
Disease.
Thank you. Especially if we quit having our vaccines, right? Which is a major issue right now. We continue to get our vaccines. You need to know that when I was growing up, the end of the world scenario that was most popular was, it's been mentioned, nuclear war. Always like science fiction, and some of the sci-fi movies depicting how you survive a nuclear fallout. Climbing out from your underground shelter to a barren and devastated earth.
Now, to those living in the early church following the death and resurrection of Jesus, end of the world scenarios did not include climate change, did not include mass migration from climate change, or nuclear war. It included despotic rulers, madmen. And in those days and age, it was almost always men who wielded tremendous power through the armies that they controlled. Have you ever heard of Nero, Emperor Nero, in the 60s AD, Domitian, in the 90s AD? Both of them were madmen. Has anyone here ever tried to read the book of Revelations? Anybody? Thank you. How did you do? You read it, thank you. Didn't understand it very well. All those images, the beasts and other things. Did it make much sense to you? Someone already said, didn't understand it. Because of that, many have exactly ignored the book, wonder what it's doing in the Bible in the first place. Some people, though, seem obsessed by it and see it as a coded history of the future. And if we could just get the right keys and understand the code, we would know when the end of the world was coming. Now, more than one person is trying to use the book of Revelations to depict the end of the world. And guess what? Are we here? Yeah, they didn't get it right. Okay, absolutely. But that way of reading the book of Revelation, I feel, is based on a lot of assumptions we need to question. For example, did God create a closed and predetermined universe or a free and participatory one? Is the future a movie that has already been shot, so to speak, and we're just watching it play out? Or is the future open, inviting us to be protagonists who invent, create, improvise, are co-creators with God to create a better world yet to come and tackle the problems before us? So a question for you to think about this week is, how do you see the world? How do you see God? How do you see the Bible? And how do you see the future? And what is the connection between the world, God, the Bible, and the future? Many have left behind the roadmap of the future understanding of Revelation, and more are discovering it in a different way. Now, in March here, we had some brown bag lunches, and you were to have the newspaper in one hand and what in the other? The Bible. Thank you very much. To try and get a better understanding of how our faith sheds light on our day-to-day lives. I believe before you can do that with the book of Revelations, you need to have the book of Revelation in one hand and a good history book in the other. Some of our best biblical scholars agree the book of Revelation was composed during the bloody reign of either Nero in 60s AD or Domitian. And life was very hard in the Roman Empire for poor people. It was extremely precarious when a madman was at the helm of the emperor. Words like vicious, paranoid, and insane describe both Nero and Domitian. Things got even tougher when the madman on the throne demanded to be worshipped as God, small g, which was something the followers of Jesus would never do, because there was only one God, big G, the God revealed in the Hebrew Scriptures through the stories of ancient Israel and of his son, Jesus Christ. So under the circumstances, you can imagine followers of Jesus saying something like this. Okay, they expected Jesus to come back within their lifetime to set up God's kingdom. They might start saying, well, Jesus has been gone for decades. Maybe he's not coming back. The world isn't getting any better. If anything, it's getting worse with the madman on the throne. Maybe Jesus was wrong. Maybe it's time to forget about this turn the other cheek and love your enemies business. Maybe we need to strap on our sword and fight for the future we desire. Or maybe we should just eat, drink, and be merry, because why? Tomorrow we may die. Make a buck. The heck with it all. In this light, Revelations was the very opposite of a code book that mapped out the end of the world in a distant future. It helped people address the crisis at hand to give them strength to live out their faith in a terribly difficult world. It says, even if there's a madman is the emperor, it's not the end of the world. Even if wars rage, it's not the end of the world. Even if peace-loving disciples face martyrdom regularly, which they did under Nero and Domitian, it's not the end of the world. And even if the world as we know it comes to an end, the end is a new beginning. Whatever happens, God is faithful in the way of Christ, a way of love, compassion, nonviolence, and right relations with all our neighbors. That will triumph in the end. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a comforting message for me today when I read the newspaper sometimes. Stories of Kim Jong-un as the ruler of North Korea, ISIS, the effects of climate change, especially when we don't seem to be doing enough as governments. So this message is important today as ever. Now, beside understanding historical context for this very strange book, we also need to know its literary genre. It's the literature of the oppressed. And literature of the oppressed arises with people living under dictators or mad emperors who have no freedom of speech. And if they dare to speak out against a dictator or an emperor, they will probably disappear and never be seen again. There will also, very high probability, be tortured to give up the names of others in the group so they too can be arrested and put to death. It's no wonder people remain silent in a dictatorship. But being silent in the presence of injustice feels like cooperating with it. So as the literature of the oppressed, the book of Revelation provide early disciples with a very clever way of talking about the truth when freedom of speech was dangerous in one way and remaining silent was dangerous in another. So a believer by the name of John on the island of Patmos gave voice to the human spirit that refuses to die, a spirit that cries out in the face of oppression and injustice. And where does that spirit come from, you might ask? I believe it comes from the fact we're all made in the image of God, and therefore is a reflection of God in and through us. Because the God, according to the Bible, will not be silent, but hears the cries not only of the slaves in Egypt a long time ago, but throughout history. So John finds a way to say the emperor is a fraud, his violent regime will not stand. They won't get him arrested, tortured, and killed. He tells the story of a monster that comes out of the sea and is defeated. Instead of saying the current religious establishments are corrupt, and the church on more than one occasion has been corrupt or sided with emperors and wielded great power in negative ways, he tells a story of a whore who is in line with the beast. And instead of saying the present Roman emperor is doomed empire, he speaks of a past empire, Babylon, that collapsed in failure. Now, to those in power, if they were to read this book or this tract, they might think it's a comic book or a strange tale about beasts and a past empire. But if you were a Christian, you would be in the know, and you would know that the beast was the Roman emperor. And it would give them hope to live in a time that none of us could imagine and none of us would ever want to have to live through. And for some, it gave them courage to endure torture and even death in Roman Colosseums. Well, thanks for a nice historic overview of the book of Revelations, Al. But what the heck does that have to do with 2019 when I walk out the door today? Well, the book of Revelations can have disastrous consequences if we keep reading it as a roadmap to a predetermined future. For example, we might read the vision of Jesus coming down from heaven on the white horse in Revelations 19 and think it's a completely different Jesus from the one we meet in the Gospels. The Jesus won't be the peace and love kind of guy anymore, but a revenge and violence kind of guy. And what happens if we leave the peace and loving Jesus in the past and follow the violent and revengeful Jesus into the future? We may read about people being thrown into the lake of fire at the end of Revelation, and if we take it literally, we may see God as some sort of sadistic torturer. And if God tortures people eternally, maybe it's okay for us to do the same in our next war or political upheaval or when we round up people from ISIS and others. What if we literally interpret Revelation chapter 21 that it sounds like the present earth is destroyed? We might think, why worry about overconsumption, environmental destruction, climate change? God's going to destroy the world anyway soon, so what the heck? You know, eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we may die. There's a high cost to living, reading the book of Revelation outside its historical and literary context. People who read it without understanding its historical and literary genre may miss important details. Did you notice when Jesus rides in on his white horse? Yes, his robes are bloodstained, but he carries a sword. Where is the sword? Do you remember? Thank you. It's in his mouth. Do you remember the phrase? You know, words can be sharper than what? Any two-edged sword. Thank you. If we misinterpret this image, we may see it as a scene where Jesus repudiates the nonviolence in the Gospels. We see it as maybe a killer Messiah returning in the future. Whereas the book of Revelation, read in its historical context, recalls a different day in the past when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. What day is that? Do you remember? Thank you. Palm Sunday. We will celebrate it next Sunday. Words can be sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, Jesus' words of humble peace, love, and justice will prevail, Revelation promises, and prove more powerful than the bloody swords of the violent emperors who wield them today.
And when you think of the longevity of the church, which is the body of Christ in the world, I believe it's been true. Now, there's this beautiful image at the end of the book of Revelation that, again, is relevant today. It doesn't picture us being evacuated from earth to heaven, as some assume, but the opposite. It pictures a new Jerusalem descending from heaven down to earth. And we are told in this new city it won't need a temple or a church because God's presence is everywhere. And we try and detect that in our lives. Where is God's presence? It doesn't need the sun and the moon because the light of Christ illuminates it from within. The gates in this city are never shut because it welcomes people from around the world, regardless of race, culture, religion. And in the center of the city is God's throne from which a river of life flows. So rather than giving its original readers and hearers a coded blueprint for the future, Revelation gave them a visionary insight to survive the present. It told them the story of God's work in history was never about escaping earth to heaven. It's always been about God descending and being among us, as Jesus did at Christmas, and we do today as we are filled with Christ's love and faithfulness. Faithfulness wasn't passively waiting for a future already determined. Faithfulness meant participating with God in God's unfolding story in the present. God wasn't a distant, terrifying monster waiting for vengeance at the end of the world. God is descending among us here and now, making a river and tree of life available to all here and now. Even in the midst of the chaos that the first century Christians experienced, the writer was saying, "Behold, God is still making all things new." I don't know about for you, but that message is as relevant today as the day it was written. No matter what madman is in power, no matter what chaos is breaking out, no matter what dangers threaten us, climate change and others, the river of life is still flowing out from God into God's world for God's people to create life. And I like what Brian said. Did you notice the last word in the book? The word didn't say wait, someday, or maybe. It said come. It's a word of welcome, hospitality, and invitation. Come drink from the river of life. Come join in this task of making all things new, like peace and justice, taking care of the creation, building a sense of community among us that makes helping our neighbors like second nature, regardless of race, creed, color, or religion. Thanks be to God for this new way of looking at Revelations. Amen.